Hey, welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the podcast that is weird, but helpful.
Just like it's helpful.
Us in real life. I'm Carrie Jones. I'm an internationally best-selling novelist and reporter, and now a podcaster. And with me, as always, is my husband, Sean Kelly Farrar. What are you, Shawnee?
A man with three names, apparently.
And that means you're going to be a murderer soon, probably.
Oh, that's right.
But every podcast, we do a random thought, and then we give you a little life help. Maybe.
Usually based on a dog's advice.
And then a dog tip, right. And it's all meant to be good happiness, man.
Just fun.
So chill back, relax, and maybe you'll learn something.
Or maybe you'll laugh.
Or maybe even both. Hey, welcome to a podcast.
Whoa, you sound pretty enthusiastic. For somebody that's been so tender all day.
I'm very tender.
You're really, tender. Just vulnerable.
I am a very vulnerable human being.
You're vulnerable.
Yeah. Do you know why?
I can give you one reason.
Because your chair is squeaky?
Yeah, well, that's not my fault.
It's because I'm worried.
Someday we'll be able to afford a new chair. What are you worried about?
Honestly, I'm worried about my purpose in life.
Oh, my God.
It's a downer. It's a downer.
Only if you let it be.
I know.
Who needs a purpose?
I know, exactly.
Maybe your purpose is to be happy, make love to your husband all the time, and just enjoy life.
Spoken like a husband.
At least the first.
Wow. Spoken like a husband from the 1950s, if you take out the enjoy life part.
I didn't say take care of your husband, wait on him hand and foot. Freshen yourself up before he comes home from work and kick your shoes off and have dinner ready for him.
I would if he made all the money and I didn't have to worry about money.
Oh, I know. But then you'd be so bored.
Ugh, I wouldn't be bored. I'd write my novels.
Oh, yeah, you'd be one of those. Paintings. You'd be one of those authors.
I'd make really good dinners. I'd be like most of the authors who are published, who have another income source. Yeah, man. It'd be nice, man.
I know.
All right, go get a job.
But instead, you have this wonderful life. Much more fulfilling.
Oh, my God. I just said I didn't know what my purpose was. And you're like, you have a wonderful life that's so fulfilling.
Hey.
You didn't hear anything I said.
I can twist.
I know, you twist like a devil.
Roll one up.
You twist like my mama and my daddy in the 1950s dancing.
Oh, I can't do that.
No, you actually can't. Sean is the worst twister ever. He was like Frankenstein.
You can just say the worst dancer.
No, you're not a bad dancer. You're very good at the up and down movements.
Maybe.
Twisties.
Before the level of poop in this room gets too high, let's finish up this podcast before I can't breathe.
Anyways.
Man chokes to death on verbal vomit.
That's really funny. The verbal vomit.
Well, I'm trying not to cuss.
Our random thought before that was that in Norway, they're trying to find something that crashed into a lake 77 years ago.
Really?
Yes. And Norwegian UFO investigators are leading the charge.
Why?
I don't know. Because apparently in the town of... I apologize to everyone Norwegian. I have absolutely no idea how to say this. Røros.
Røros?
Røros?
What is that second letter?
It's a letter with a funky O.
That's like not an English letter.
No, right? It's an O with a symbol through it.
Oh.
But in that town.
It's silent. It's just Røros.
Røros.
Røros. I don't know. I apologize.
Anyways, in this town in... And we're both... We have Norwegian in us. I'm pretty Scandinavian genetically, apparently. But anyways, in this town that we cannot pronounce because we have been Americanized in a horrible, horrible way, in 1947, a mayor witnessed something happen, right?
Yeah.
He said, quote, "It looked like a rocket and it made a lot of noise and it turned 180 degrees and landed in the lake behind us."
Did it land or crash?
What?
Did it land or crash?
This quote says landed. So it became a mystery for a lot of people in that area. Like, what was this thing, you know? And like generation after generation or year after year, or decade after decade, whatever you want to do, like, kept wondering what the heck was that that the mayor and everyone saw land in the lake behind them, right?
Yeah.
So now they're trying to find out.
Well, good.
And there is allegedly an unusual, like, they've done, like, a bunch of, like, you know, weirdness, like, science-y stuff.
Yeah.
And they've done those images where you can see underneath things.
Sonar.
Thank you. I was losing the name of it. All right. Shut up. Getting old, losing some brain cells and word retrieval abilities. But anyways, there's an object under there, and it's, like, 46 meters long and 10 meters wide. And they're trying to, like, find out what it is, and they have divers going down, but they haven't found anything. Like, the sonar is showing it, but they haven't yet found, like, gotten a visual on whatever the heck this That's thing is.
That's strange. What? Maybe it's invisible.
Maybe.
Because the sonar would still pick it up if it was an invisible solid object.
Right, man.
But can I just... I hate to make a correction, but... It's 46 feet long.
I'm sorry.
And 10 feet wide.
Did I say the opposite?
Yeah, you said 46 meters and 10 meters wide.
Oh, so sorry.
So it's like a third of the size, but that's still big.
I was in my European mode of, like, dimensions.
Oh, I thought you were going to say European mode of dementia.
No!
Because that European dementia is worse than American dementia.
He's so mean. But anyway, there's a film crew and everything. Like,
is it really?
Yeah, they're kind of make a documentary out of it.
That's cool, but you know what the problem is with those documentaries?
Is that they're
boring. They never find anything.
Well, apparently.
But you know what? Number two?
Yeah.
It's the biggest mistake in the world is if you're going to find a UFO or hidden treasure,
yeah,
you tell nobody.
Tell no one. Including the...
Otherwise, the very least, the government's going to swoop in and take that shit from you.
Maybe the Norwegian government's not like that.
Well, the American government will probably go to Norway and take it.
Well, that's kind of true. There's also 2 hours ago...
2 hours ago?
Yes, Lucas Ropek published in Gizmodo. Another UFO report is bust, so why do so many people still believe the truth is out there? So there's a long-awaited report from the Defense Department in the United States about UFOs or UAPs, right? Mm-hmm. And apparently it says that it's all, nothing's going on.
Oh, so it's just the government trying to make this guy look like he's lying that used to be work for the government.
It's basically saying that according to the article, the document's little more than a historical summary of some of the U.S. government's formerly secret programs. And it's saying, hey, no alien technology was used in these programs.
Well, you know.
And it's also saying, quote, to date, the AARO, which is the government agency, the Pentagon's All-Domain Anomaly Resolution Office.
Yep.
To date, AARO has not discovered any empirical evidence that any sighting of a UAP represented off-world technology or the existence of a classified program that had not been properly reported to Congress. There's a lot to unpack, actually, in there.
Dude, they're not going to admit it. They just put out little teasers, and then they go back to the same old story.
Well, properly reported, so maybe something had been reported.
Not properly reported, that was factual.
And maybe there was evidence, but it wasn't empirical evidence.
That's right.
And maybe there was technology, but it wasn't off-world.
Well,
I don't know.
It's not off-world if it's found here.
You could pick that sentence apart, like, mm-hmm. piece by piece and be like, But anyways, this whole article is like, why the hell do you believe in it? Because it's obviously not true.
Well, that's just one person's opinion.
It is? Well, no. He says all the reports prove that it's not true.
All the government-issued statements?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Let's talk about writing. It's time to talk about writing. such a bad word.
She calls
such
me a
bad
D word all the time.
Because you are a D word.
Hey, are we still talking about showing versus telling?
Yes, and it's probably our last one. Yay, says Sean. So this...
I'm going to miss it, though.
I don't know if I believe you.
I am.
Okay. This one, this episode, is called The Info Dump from Hell and also and How to Avoid Them and also UFOs, because we just talked about them. So, talking about show and tell at the scene level, do you remember last week we talked about it at the sentence level?
Oh,
and
yeah.
And then the paragraph level, we mm-hmm. talked about it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now we're talking about it finally at the scene level, which is a little bit harder and a little bit easier.
Are we not going to talk about it one more time at, like, the whole, what do you call it?
Story.
Plot level? The plot level.
No, like the whole structure.
Yeah, the whole story level.
No, because there's no point. So anyways, talking about it at this level of paragraphs and scenes is a little bit easier, right? Mostly for scenes. What you're looking for telling at this level of the story, when you're looking for it, right? What yeah. you're looking for is a couple things. One.
A butt ton of backstory.
Two.
A butt ton of info dumps.
Three.
A lot of flashback.
Yeah. That makes me like think of flash dance.
Is that like a badonkadonk, a butt ton of backstory?
Oh my God. And then info dumps
That's
coming
right.
out of that backstory. And then when that happens, you flash back to the nachos and Doritos that you had earlier.
That can happen. Especially if there's a little heat in there.
Fiery Doritos. So, anyways, you can have a little bit of backstory, info dump, and flashback. I can't even say those anymore.
Why?
Because now I have
fun.
You know, in those in your stories, you can have a little bit of them, okay?
Yes.
But where us authors get into trouble is when we have a lot of it, much like if you eat too many nachos or Doritos. And then when we have a lot of it, if we have a lot of telling language, which we've talked about before, in there too, it's like, oh, like that. It's hell.
Chokes your reader.
It chokes your reader and it makes Carrie cry.
Backstory and dumps.
Carrie cried a lot today because of the story she was reading, because it was all info dump and backstory and telling language.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh.
So, anyways, we'll fix that for them. An example.
Can I read it? Can I read it?
Yes. What really happens when we do this?
Bud Godzilla looked down on his sweet friend turned zombie. They'd been friends forever, so this hurt. 3-page description of how they met. Info dump or backstory?
So, right? If
yeah.
you have, like, then right after that, like, it's a 3-page description. That's an info dump or a backstory. Or?
Bud Godzilla looked down on his sweet friend turned zombie. They'd been friends forever, so this hurt.
Then?
3-page scene of how they met.
Flashback, right?
Yeah.
So you usually want to limit these places and instead sprinkle in the action and the dialogues and the details throughout to help the reader understand that the characters have history or the world exists before the book begins, right? Because
mm-hmm.
if you're in this really big moment right here, Bud Godzilla is looking down at Hammy, right?
Yeah.
Hammy has turned into a zombie and like, that's a really big moment, but instead of being in that big moment, we're going to learn all about how they became friends, or we're going to learn
kind of
all about...
Kind of distracting, isn't it?
Yeah,
it like keeps you right off course.
Yes, it keeps you away from the forward motion of the plot.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. We want to know
what
happens
next. All I can
think
about right now is how they met.
Right.
And there wasn't even in a big info dump or backstory.
No, exactly. But instead, we want to like be right there, and we want to see what Bud Godzilla is going to do now that Hammy has turned zombie.
He's going to kill him. Because he's a zombie, and that's the only thing you can do.
He's going to kill him.
Well, that's what you do with zombies. Unless he's like sadistic son of a gun, and he's like, puts him back in his cage and just keeps feeding him. Well, pretty soon he just have thousands of zombie hamsters. So.
Oh, jeez. All right. Anyways. Hello. That was really funny. So, sprinkle in all your stuff, right?
Yeah.
You want to try to help the readers understand that the characters have history and world before the book begins. But, like, you want to have a balance. There's a balance between telling too much and too little. You want the reader to anticipate that something cool is going to happen or has happened. But you don't want to leave them confused. Like, how does Bud Godzilla even know Hammy, the hamster turned zombie, right? But you also don't want to know way too much. Like, Hammy the hamster had 3,422 fur particles of hair. I don't know. I'm making this up.
Oh, I can tell.
Honestly. You're such a dick. I said it! Anyways, so it's like, sometimes you'll be on the plane. The person will not stop talking for 6 hours about their boil and their aunt's piano obsessions and their dinner plans while you just want to finish the in-flight movie.
That's what they made headphones for.
Well, that's what happens with these paragraphs of backstory and flashbacks and infodumping. Everything is paused and the stakes are gone. And when that happens, you risk losing your ear.
Well, you don't want to do that.
Kind of like when I talk for too long on the podcast and Shawnee doesn't get a turn.
That never happens.
That always happens. You're always like, let me, I need to go. It's very cute. There you go.
You're very cute, too. And I love the sound of your voice. So.
Lies.
Those aren't lies. Dog!
What's that?
That was like a horn that's like full of snow, and it's like...
I snort laugh.
Dog! Tip! For life. I just don't have it today.
What?
It wasn't there. I don't know.
I worry for you.
Just a little tickle in my throat or something. Oh, I don't know. Anyways, Puggy's like, don't be wasting no time with backstories and info dumps and big old badonka donks. You gotta just get right to what you want.
And what is that?
Well, for her, it's treats. Or love and affection. She's a very affectionate and loving dog.
She is. She likes a lot of love, just like her daddy.
Well, she doesn't like that kind of love.
No.
But I like all kinds of love.
But not that kind of love.
I like to cuddle and muddle and fuddle.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so listen.
Yeah.
Pogi said, don't distract your readers. Just tell them what you need or what they need to know.
Yes.
It's kind of like the government. Just tell them what they need to know.
Way to circle back.
I did do that.
Because I'm proud of you.
All right, baby, give us a shout out.
Hey, the music we've clipped and shortened in this podcast is awesome and is made available through the Creative Commons license. Who's that artist and what's that song?
I don't know, man.
You do, you know?
I do. We've been saying it. It's Summer Spleef by Broke for Free.
And we have extra content all about living happy on the livinghappy.substack.com blog. And it's pretty awesome. And we also have a writing tips podcast called Write Better Now.
They're both awesome.
But our brand new...
Amazing Creepy podcast is Dude, No! It's like that. You gotta say it like that.
He does say it like that. It's true crime with an occasional foray into the paranormal and the macabre, and it's awesome. And finally, we have a podcast.
Loving the Strange.
Which we stream live.
On Carrie's Facebook and Twitter and YouTube on Fridays, but every other Friday.
Every other Friday now, because we're lazy.
So be sure to check her Facebook and Twitter for the dates when we are going to be podcasting live and making fools of ourselves.
Live.
We're going to do a Hot Wings challenge real soon.
Oh, dear God.
And that's always a good one.
Anyways, all my Twitter handles and Facebook handles and blah, blah, blah. It's either Carrie Jones Books or Carrie Jones Book. Carrie with a C-A-R-R-I-E. Yeah. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, thank you so much. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share.
And be kind. Be kind to us old people.
Oh, yeah, we can't take much more.